Welcome to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly.
Remember when you were like a kid and you would like make up like a recipe and you like thought it was like gonna go viral, but like in within your neighborhood, like you thought like the news was gonna come and like write a cookbook about you.
And Liz.
Guess what I have now, Kelly? Insomnia, which is the last thing that I needed. I can't sleep at night, no matter how tired I am.
Your mom time off starts now.
Welcome back to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly
and Liz.
Hey everyone, happy Thursday.
We're in New York right now, but not at the time of recording.
No, but we're just
but
like
physically
girls in New York.
I'm mentally in New York right now. I'm kind of ready for it. Okay. I think I've recovered from our travel trauma. And I mean, everyone could be listening to this and be like, oh, sister doesn't even know what she has ahead of her, because we haven't actually traveled yet. But hopefully we direct flight. We're carrying on. We have Sydney with us, which makes me feel like that's going to be
Sydney will take care of us. And the thing is, as bad as this joint pain is, nausea is worse.
Yeah, so I've been feeling nauseous.
Well, see, I haven't. So you got to keep that energy to yourself.
Okay.
Because I'm feeling like I want to eat everything.
Well, in the same way that you can maybe keep your joint pain to yourself, I'll keep my nausea to myself. But let's be real, you're not going to do that. So
well, then you can keep constantly being tired to yourself, too, if you want to go there.
Okay. If you don't bring up joint pain, I won't bring up being tired. You can't do it.
Because I have a lot going on with my joints.
And I have a lot going on with my energy levels. Guess what I have now, Kelly? Insomnia, which is the last thing that I needed. I can't sleep at night, no matter how tired I am.
I got a prenatal massage. It was wonderful. And I got the best email from this girl. I haven't done this yet, but I'm very hopeful about something I'm going to try for my joint pain.
So we are talking about joint pain. Okay.
A carpooler emailed and was like, put in the headline, Kelly has to read this. So like Matney, our assistant, forwarded it to me and like put it in like my needs attention folder. And this girl is going on and on about how she had exact similar joint pain to me. Like it would rotate between the joints. It was like to the T my symptoms.
Okay.
And she gave me an acupuncturist to go see in Waterloo, Illinois. It's an hour away. I made an appointment.
You're going
to
drive an hour?
Yeah, I'm going to drive an hour. It's like a maternal acupuncturist. And she goes, I went one time and my joint pain never came back.
Okay. Sure. It's worth a shot.
It's 100% worth a shot.
To Waterloo you go.
Well, you know, it'll be a good time to just like sit in the car, listen to my book.
You should do a Waterloo meet and greet. No. Anyway. We have an episode that we have to get to. So we've got a Merriam-Webster word of the day. We've got dumpity-doos. You have a taste drive that I don't know what it is.
I have two taste drives.
You have two taste drives.
Which we haven't had in a while.
Yeah. We have industry news with a special guest. Had a lot of guests lately. And I'm assuming our special guest is bringing the dish to the drive-thru.
Oh, 100%.
Because we like love to put them to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to do it. Okay, Cal. Well, let's get right into our Merriam-Webster word of the day. Today's word is kismet.
That's like my shoes that I wear. Kismet. I've heard of this word before. Kismet. Where have I heard this word? It's like kizik, like the shoes. Kismet. Use it in a sentence.
From the moment we met, we felt connected. We knew it was kismet. That's the example they use.
I don't know. Meant to be.
Kismet refers to a power that is believed to control what happens in the future. It is synonymous with both fate and destiny.
We have the stupidest language.
But it's like we have fate and destiny, so why do we need kismet?
Is it met?
Kismet.
Spell it.
K-I-S-M-E-T.
Oh, there's not even a Z in there?
No. But it's kismet. Pronounced kismet. No, it's pronounced K-I-Z-Z-M-E-T.
But it's kismet.
Kismet.
Let me see it.
Kelly, you...
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, kismet. I'm not going to use that one. I don't like that one.
Well, I like fate and destiny. I'm with you. Like, I just like fate and destiny.
Yeah. Those... Like, kismet doesn't sound like dreamy and sweet. It sounds like...
It sounds like a Gen Z slang.
Yeah. It really does.
Well, I've got a couple things on my dump. First of all, I took a page out of our last episode's book, and I have been kind of on a freezer meal rampage.
Yeah.
So I made some the Pioneer Woman's Baked Ziti, which like everyone needs to be making that this, like in the next 2 weeks. Like just set yourself up for success.
It's so good.
One recipe gave me 2 9x13s. You could maybe do a little more pasta than just the pasta it calls for. Like it probably could have used like a box and a half of pasta, but I stretched it and it was fine. And I have 2 9x13s. Serve it with a salad. No one will know the difference. And then I also made 2 broccoli cheddar casseroles, broccoli chicken cheese casseroles for the freezer. I went to Costco, bought 2 mac and cheeses.
You're so inspired. For the freezer.
And like now, if you know, if you have a baby or if you invite me to the church potluck, you know what I'm bringing because I got things in the freezer. It's like, oh, let me just grab that baked ziti I made. Okay. Value add.
Value add. Yeah, no, that's, you're really inspired. I can tell.
I'm really inspired.
Yeah.
And my countertops get put in tomorrow at the new house.
That's huge.
And then we're moving.
Like, so yeah. So after Easter, you guys are like, Tyler
won't give me a firm date, which I understand because he's like, I just don't know how long it's gonna like take to set the appliances and like whatever, you know, he's just,
yeah,
but not, yeah. I would say this time next week I hope to be brushing my teeth there.
That's crazy.
Or maybe the next weekend, because we'll probably move on a weekend where we can get some help moving.
Yeah, because you can't do it with that joint pain.
I've been actually doing really good. I take a laundry basket every time I go out there. And yeah, I'm just like, it's so nice. I'm like setting things in their places.
Yeah, that's gotta feel
like
good.
Like the slow move. It's just been wait a slow till you gonna like
put plates in your cabinet.
Well, I've got these organizer girly pops coming.
They're coming back? I thought they were just doing your...
No, that was just our like our initial consult. What do they call themselves? Oh, they do move management. That's the buzzword they said they told me to say.
You know,
so like they have some
professional organizers. I think it's worth it.
I think it's worth, well, especially these girly pops who, like I said, they call themselves, they do move management. And they said they have some clients who like go out, like super bougie clients who like leave their home, go on a 2 week vacation. They pack up everything. They move everything to the new house. They are in charge of the movers.
Wow.
And then they unload everything and organize it and they just walk right into their house.
What a luxury.
I don't want many people going.
I wonder how much they charge for that.
I would, let's guess. Let's guesstimate.
I mean, movers are expensive.
But if they're literally packing up your...
That's a white glove.
If they're packing up your whole house, it's got to be at least 20 grand.
That's what I was going to say.
Was that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
So anyway, they're just helping me with my kitchen. I do want to be clear on that. I'm handling the rest of my life.
Yeah, no, I think that...
To be organized STL is what they're called.
I feel like the pantry... I have considered hiring an organizer for my pantry because my pantry's so big. It doesn't fit the rest of my house. It was extended for some reason. And so I have like a lot of appliances and stuff in there and I'm using, they're just all wired shelves.
You've got to fix that.
I know, but you know, am I going to? No, probably not.
Do you want to give us a backsplash update?
Oh, I have a backsplash update.
I think
update.
We're all the guy really
came,
invested.
He came. He was really nice. And he told me what kind to backsplash to order. He's like, just get it off Home Depot if you just want like the cheaper stuff. So I have to order that. And then he said it will take a day and a half to finish. And then I'll have backsplash.
So balls in your court, you have to order the backsplash.
Yeah. And then he said late May is when he currently has availability. But he said like, because it's kind of like a quick one. He's like, if I have any openings, I can come and like do it. But I've got to like get the stuff ordered. So.
But he told you like how much to order.
50 square feet. I wrote it down. He told me exactly what to order. I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like asking me all these questions. And I was like, I definitely should have done research prior to you coming.
No, I think that's what a professional does. He needs to come in and educate. And guys, I just think I hope everyone also has taken our advice from previous episodes where we're all just working on a home project. And doesn't have to be as dramatic. It can be as simple as like trying to thrift the perfect night table or spray painting your outdoor lights or a backsplash or a kitchen runner. Like it doesn't matter what it is. But I just think that was like one of the best tangible tips we've ever given. Like just that's the hobby. That's the thing to talk about with the people.
Just like always something to
What's
do.
New? Oh, you know, we're trying to finish like furnishing the bedrooms on the hunt for nightstands. I mean, then you just have something to say to connect with people, like especially if you're like in your trying to make friends era.
Yeah, which I think we
Which who are. Isn't?
Who isn't? We can always use more friends. Kel, I need to talk about something.
Yeah, we kind of have to get going because I have a lot of stuff too.
Okay, well, I'm going to say what I wanted to say because I just said I'm going to say something. Well, it felt like you were going to interrupt me. I have been nauseous. So I went to Panera and I said, can I please have a Sprite? Because I felt like a carbonated soda would help me. And they go, we don't have Sprite. We have Starry. Is that okay? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I don't, whatever. Whatever you have. I don't care. So then it had me thinking, like, what even is Starry? Because I've seen it.
It's Sierra Mist.
It is the Sierra Mist rebrand. And then I was like, why did they do that? And I've done some research. And so there seems to be two stories. There seems to be what Pepsi's telling us. And then there's what this TikToker who goes by the name Sierra, C-I-E-R-R-A, Mist, has to say. So I'm going to try and give a brief synopsis of what's going on. So
edge of my seat.
Sierra Mist says that they changed it to Starry because they like weren't getting... Sierra Mist kept falling short underneath Sprite. Like Sprite kept getting more market share than Sierra Mist. So...
Yeah, so does Coke and Pepsi, though.
Exactly. But this, I guess it was a bigger deal. So they did a rebrand with Starry. The ingredients are very similar, except I believe that like Sierra Mist used sugar and this now uses high fructose corn syrup. And they say it's like it has like more of a pop of flavor and like the citrus comes out more. Couldn't tell you it tasted just like Sprite or Sierra Mist to me, but it was good. I enjoyed. I don't think that Sprite and Sierra Mist had the same drastic taste difference that Coke and Pepsi 100%.
Have. It's a lemon lime soda.
It tasted the same to me. So like they're kind of saying that and they're not really giving people a lot of information.
So they're just like, well, first of all, the branding's significantly better. It's cuter. I think it's appealing to a younger crowd.
Yeah, Starry's cute, you know, whatever. So this TikTok creator, Sierra Mist, is speaking out about the soda name change. That's her handle. She's used the name, her name's Sierra, and she has used the handle Sierra with a C, M-I-S-T-T, like since her AOL, you know, instant messenger platform. I mean,
platform. Who wouldn't?
Like,
who wouldn't?
So she's always done it. So TikToker Sierra Mist is known for creating engaging flight attendant content. She claimed in a YouTube video from July 2023 that PepsiCo had accused her of trademark infringement. In the video from July 2023, she followed her claim by saying that she couldn't reveal much due to legal reasons. In more recent videos, she stated that the beverage company gave her a cease and desist letter and wanted to sue her for copyright infringement and defamation. She continued, apparently my content and being a spicy flight attendant, whatever that means, doesn't align with their core values, the TikToker said. So she and her lawyer discovered during this, you know, as they're demanding that she change her name, that the company's rights to Sierra Mist had expired. So since she felt like she was being intimidated and gaslit by the company, she bought the copyright to Sierra Mist spelled correctly. So according to the Copyright Office, copyright protection lasts only for a limited time period. After protection expires, the work enters into the public domain. If someone purchases the copyrights, then the previous holder is notified. The trademark factory does not remind you to renew your registration. No, they will wait until you see if the owner or your attorney or trademark agent reminds you to submit the renewal. So Sierra Mist, like Pepsi never resubmitted for the Sierra Mist trademark and this chick bought it. She noted that after obtaining the rights to Sierra Mist, she was able to go after PepsiCo legally. However, the beverage company pulled off what she called to be a PR move of rebranding. She continued, they have been around long enough to know that switching names adds more emphasis on questions versus than the actual rebranding process. So this is kind of why she's thinking that they rebranded because she bought the rights to Sierra Mist. But they're saying like, no, like we added new flavors and it's different than Sierra Mist. Well,
the only reason I don't believe it, here's the hole in her story. There is no, I mean, surely they would have offered, they offered her money for it then. And like it had got to be cheaper to buy Sierra Mist than it did be to do an entire rebrand of a soda. So I feel like they either wanted to do this rebrand of a soda.
It could be.
Because so there's no way.
I want to say one more thing. Pepsi did not respond to
Pepsi's also
this chick's claims.
Pepsi's giving loser energy also. With
for suing this woman.
A flight attendant, a working class woman.
for her Instagram handle,
which it's spelled differently.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. So there were kind of like two sides of the story. So I feel like Sierra Miss, the TikToker, she could have grounds to like stand on. She also could just be like, you know, trying to like gain attention from it.
Well, either way, it's working. So I hope
either way it's working. So I don't know.
How do you spell Sierra?
Which one?
With the C.
That's C-I-E-R-R-A-M-I-S-S.
Oh, I was way off. I thought there was like two C's in it. Sierra Mist. Now she has 308,000 followers on Instagram and 9 million on TikTok. And yeah, she is a spicy flight attendant.
There you go. Anyway, Starry was pretty good. Give it a try. I liked it. Made me feel better if you're nauseous.
Yeah, she's like really kind of like riding this.
I mean, to get like sued by Pepsi.
Interesting.
I can't believe, what a power move though, to just like buy it.
Okay, well, that was like a really good dump. Mine's like not quite as exciting. I was just going to say that I feel like, I guess it's kind of, look, here's the bridge I'll use, influencer adjacent. I feel like appliance brands need to do some better like celebrity influencer marketing, because yeah. Here's what, like, I've been in the market for, I've bought literally how many appliances? A new washer dryer, a fridge, a dishwasher, a stove, and mm-hmm. a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. Two refrigerators.
Yeah.
So like I've been like spending my money on appliances lately.
Yeah.
And I just had no idea, like no one has any idea what appliances to buy. They all go to their Facebook or they go to their Instagram and they're like, what is everyone like? And then people are like, Samsung, Maytag, LG. And it's like, where is like the Jennifer Aniston Aveeno ad campaign? Like, I just need to, like, I just think these appliance brands are not doing. I don't think they're doing like good enough marketing to consumers. Like, have you ever seen an appliance ad?
No. And I need less of the Jennifer Aniston one because I'm not buying that she uses her dishwasher. But like, I need more of like the Danny Austin. Like, what is she using?
Or like even the home, like the Chris Love Julia.
What? Yeah.
The rambling redhead. What are they doing? What's their appliance of choice? I mean, are they?
Do they like it? If they posted one reel like this is, I really like this Samsung one, and these are the reasons why, I'd be like, okay, great, we're gonna get the Samsung. Yeah,
and like, you know, it just kind of works like that. Like, if all the influencers are pushing Samsung, like I'll look at Samsung, and if they're the influencers I trust and like, I know that they like them, and I just feel like I had no idea what washer dryer to buy, and no one's reviewing these products. Consumer Reports is the only one. Consumer Reports is the influencer. Is the
influencer, yeah,
and. You know, they're a little dry.
Yeah.
Love them, but they're a little dry. So we ended up doing all KitchenAid appliances because I also like felt like they needed to match. Is that stupid?
No, I get that.
Like,
I
the mean, fridge if, and the stove. And
if I were to buy all new ones, like, you'd yeah, pick a brand. Sure. I'd, yeah. If it kind of was like, oh, now my oven went out, like, I wouldn't necessarily try and match. But like, you were buying all fresh new
but
ones.
I just, like,
I get that.
The thing is, it's like, I just picked the stove and the No, I picked the oven because we're doing this like thing called a 5-in-1. It's like an oven on bottom and then a microwave on top. And I liked the KitchenAid one the best. So then I was like, okay, I just picked KitchenAid everything else. Like, I don't know. I don't even know what my fridge really looks like, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I know. I like went to Home Depot and like looked at them all and then like looked at the ones that were on sale because they have like dents and dings in them. And that's how I made my determination on my appliances that I had to buy.
So it's just interesting. And I just think like if you are in the appliance realm, I think maybe it's time to like, you know, start some influencer marketing or just any market. I don't think they're marketing.
Yeah. Like, do something.
Because not a single name came to my mind. Like, I had no direction of like, oh, I know. Because, you know, I'll just say whatever. I'll just throw stuff out there and see what sticks. Like, if I would have heard something in passing or like saw a TikTok, I'd be like, oh, yeah, everyone always talks about the Samsung. Like, I've heard such good things. Like, I'll just say crap like that.
Yeah.
Like to Tyler, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just need something to come across my desk and nothing did. So I did KitchenAid. I'll let you know. I did end up going for the Speed Queen washer dryer, which was more expensive than the other washer dryers you could buy. But it's just, first of all, I'm scarred by my Samsung.
Please don't do that.
Scarred by that noise that it makes. So this Speed Queen, there's not an electronic component to it. It's a crank pull.
And that was more expensive?
Yeah. And if it's going to last 25 years.
Okay.
If I if I ever come back on this podcast and if I'm in the market for a washer dryer, I will eat my words because I pray that it lasts me five ever.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you have all, you have those coming. So you can definitely be the influencer that like lets everyone know how it's going.
Yeah. But also KitchenAid didn't pay me anything. So.
No, I know. And it's like, it's too late.
But if I do like it, I will talk about it. And I also didn't get paid by the Speedy Queenies. Not get paid by anybody.
No.
Home stuff is hard. Which yeah. is fine. Because also, I don't always like want to just, that's like not really my thing.
Yeah. Okay, Kel, do you have anything more on your dump or can we get into this taste drive?
Yeah, let's get into these taste drives. So one, remember when you were like a kid and you would like make up like a recipe and you like thought it was like gonna go viral, but like in within your neighborhood, like you thought like the news was gonna come and like write a cookbook about you?
No.
Okay, I have two that come to mind from when I was a kid. Okay. One, it was a Ritz cracker
with peanut butter and a grape.
And a grape.
Yeah.
A deconstructed peanut. I thought I was a
You like made those for like Sydney's baptism and like served them. Like, I remember you like had a plate and you like gave them to the priest. We had like all of our family over outside after like, her baptism. I don't remember that. You like walked around like it was an hors d'oeuvre.
But it was. Like, I'm deconstructed PBJ, like obsessed. And then okay. Do you remember what we used to do with bananas?
No.
Slice bananas and dip them in dry jello powder.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I forgot about
like,
that.
Like anyway, like that was Kelly's kids' cookbook.
So and then you in grade school, you tried making carrots and peanut butter happen and you were like, no, it's actually like really good.
No, I totally tried to make my personality.
It's like really good if you put them together. And I like tried so hard to make it good and I was like, Kelly, this isn't good.
No, I would like bring it in lunch and I'd be like, are you eating carrots and peanut butter? I'd be like, yeah, it's just like it's like such a good combo.
Yeah, and it's like not.
I was inspired
by straight up a bad wreck.
I was inspired by Parent Traps. Peanut butter and Oreos. So anyway, that's so I have a new I did that myself. Like okay. I've redone that.
Okay.
And it's very kismet, if you will.
Hold on. I'll let you get it set up.
Okay, so it's called Soli. Am I saying that right?
Soli.
Soli.
That's fruit jerky. It's I've never seen this. Wait, where'd you get these?
Okay, you find them in the fruit snack section. Okay. I found them at Schnucks in the fruit snack section, which was felt weird. It's just one ingredient. This is one half of an organic pineapple, this little jerky. I guess they dehydrate it down to a whole half.
I'm familiar with how fruit leather is made. Yeah.
I forgot. And this is one whole organic mango.
Okay.
Just one ingredient. Non-GMO. USDA organic. 100% vegan.
Okay.
They're delicious. The kids, I've been cutting. They're expensive. It's $1.49 a pop.
Whoa. They're not very big.
They're not very big. But no, but it is if it's a one half of an organic pineapple, but it doesn't fill you up.
It's what, like 8 inches?
Yeah. 70 calories. Anyway, and it's like, congrats, you just ate a whole mango. And it's like, did I?
No, that's cool.
Anyway, I've been dividing them and putting them like in the kids' lunches or snacks. They're hoovering them. Obsessed. Okay. So then I was like, oh, like, let me try one. And I remember a couple of months ago where we went on like a major tahini kick and we got like those disgusting gummies.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like a natural organic version of this. Okay. So here's what we're trying. I got the mango and the pineapple. I put lime juice on them and then I sprinkled tahini on them.
All right. Looks pretty good.
And they are. Over. Which one do you want to start with? Let me take a picture. It's okay. Not very appetizing. I'm not going to do that.
Let's do pineapple. That's very good.
I could serve these on a platter at the baptism.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. That's very good.
And you just ate a whole fourth of a pineapple.
I did. Just like that. I feel like actually eating a fourth of a pineapple would fill me up more, but no, that's really nice. That's a nice spicy, sweet treat. Yeah, I would recommend this. I would say that was a win.
Try the mango.
Okay. If you don't like tahini, though, you will not like that. Because
it's just tahini.
It's just tahini. It has like a lot of like, my mouth was.
But they're also just good on their own, too. Yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, they're $1.49 a pop, so proceed with caution. And like literally my kids could probably eat like three of them in a sitting. And then I'm like, wait, you just ate a pineapple and a half. That feels like way too much sugar. So I don't really know how the math and science work.
No, I get it. But if you pass them and you're like, oh, that's kind of expensive for me to try these out.
It is
good. They are good. So
Okay, speaking of things that are expensive, but we're going to try them out, is I have another taste drive, which okay. we probably should have like saved this. But the thing is, I was at Schnucks. I saw them both. I'm like, I'm not going to sit on these for
we
like...
We should get Starry versus Sprite. I should have told 100%. You to do that. Okay, next time.
Okay.
What did you get? I love that I don't... Oh!
So Starbucks... the thing is, I feel like Starbucks... I would like to know what other people think about this. For as much as they have the coffee beverage market cornered...
Mm-hmm.
They do not do I've never been a fan of any of their like canned drinks.
No, like their refreshers.
Yeah, like their refreshers aren't that like I don't even know if they have a canned refresher.
I think they do.
I don't know. So anyway, like I just like their coffees are never good. But then I walked past these. It's a Starbucks pink drink and a Starbucks paradise drink.
In a can or in a bottle.
In a plastic bottle, which I think is an interesting... I think the whole packaging is interesting to me. I don't know if mm-hmm. I would have gone this direction.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a lot of, like, hacks on, like, how to make a pink drink from Aldi's. It's like you get the mm-hmm. coconut milk and this, like, thing and the freeze-dried strawberries. But I said, let's see these and let's see how these taste.
Okay. Shake well.
Let's take a picture for the feed before we...
Okay. They are kind of high in sugar. They have, one has 25 and one has 29 grams of sugar.
It contains 7% juice. So like they're, but how much added sugar? Oh, 25.
It was like significant. I do like the pink drink though at Starbucks when I sometimes order that.
I like the pink drink too. So I put it over ice. Let's just give it a taste.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever had a paradise drink. So I don't know like if I'm going to be able to say if it tastes like the true Starbucks
pink version. Drink I'll definitely be able to tell.
Tastes worse. Tastes horrible.
The pink drink tastes like Pepto-Bismol in a bad way.
It's disgusting.
I would not ever
buy.
It does
taste like Pepto-Bismol in a bad way.
The coconut milk or juice, coconut water. I was like, what? It comes out of a coconut. It's like so thick, which
I did not enjoy either one of those.
I like the pink drink when I get it at Starbucks. Maybe it's the way in which I'm drinking. Like, that was not good. Like, those are going to go to waste. I'm really sorry to say. I won't drink that. That was not good.
Not for 30 grams of sugar.
No, I'll get like, a Starry. I can't be. No. Okay, well, the Starbucks Paradise and Pink drink in a bottle are a fail.
Solely.
The fruit jerky with tahini and lime are a win.
And that just shows that good natural ingredients win because that contains 7% juice. That was a whole half of a pineapple, organic pineapple.
Uh-huh.
So which one would we rather be snacking on?
Pineapple.
100%.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZocDoc. Guys, it's 2024. I do everything online. I order my groceries online. I schedule reservations online. Dog grooming appointments online, hair appointments online. Everything I'm doing is online. So why should booking and finding the right doctor for me be any exception? ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them. Once you find the doc you want, you can immediately book with them. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with the receptionist. And all these docs have verified reviews from actual real patients. All you have to do is go to ZocDoc.com/carpool and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/carpool. ZocDoc.com/carpool.
Okay, Liz, are you ready to get into industry news?
Where you spill the hot tea going on in the auto industry.
And I'm spilling a little bit of tea, but I have kind of an iconic guest who has hot tea to spill.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Rice, welcome to the Carpool Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to see you both.
Mary is, she's my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that means I love a girl who shoots their shot. And so I shooted my shot with Mary and I said, hey, I'm looking for a mentor. Will you be my mentor? And we have monthly calls together. And cute. It's like one of my favorite relationships that I have. Like, it's just, she's so, let's explain who she is. Okay, maybe. Yeah, and then we can get into like, well, why I'm obsessed with her. But Mary is a dealer principal of a Toyota store, Toyota of Greensboro. And she's also a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a baddie.
Yeah, she's doing it all.
Mary, can you tell us a little bit about you, how you got started in this crazy business, and what you're doing now.
So it's a family-owned dealership, much like your family's dealerships in Missouri. And I started working here in high school, like a lot of people worked for their family's business. I went to college. I got an outside job in sales and marketing that I did for a few years. And then I came back to the store and started my journey here at the Toyota dealership.
And so how long have you been in the business?
I have been back here about 15 years.
It's so, and Mary is so, I mean, not only is she a dealer principal, like running the day-to-day operations of a dealership, but I feel like one, for the average dealer principal, I think you're incredibly involved. I mean, often on our mentorship calls, like people are running in, like having her desk deals. She's like telling, she's running the show and running the store.
Oh, and she'll pop on the Instagram too. And we'll do a little Instagram tour while she's at it in her free time.
I love this business. It's really perfect for my personality because I'm kind of a busybody and there's always something that I can do here to be valuable to the team or our associates or just the facilities in general. So this is a great business for somebody me who likes to stay active.
And I've shared several of her videos before, but Toyota of Greensboro on Instagram, it's Mary. Like it's the woman who is running the dealership in the social media videos. Like other dealers take notes, get out there and do it. And her content is so good. It goes very deep into all things Toyota. Like one of my favorite videos you did, Mary, was you had lined up all the SUVs and you sat in the trunk of every SUV so you could see, because Toyota has so many SUVs. So it's just like such a good visual.
That was one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, it was so good.
Because I think people don't even know like the wide variety of the product and you want to show all that. So luckily, we had all the cars and we could do it.
Let's just say Craig could never.
Let's just say, yeah. Well, our dad, he always says that he has a face for radio. And I would say him on social, we don't need too much of him on social
media. Well,
let
me tell you, Chris and Kelly and Liz and the rest of the crew certainly can. So you guys do it so well. And I take a lot of notes from you guys. And I've been doing reviews for a long time and putting up videos of just walk-arounds on cars. But what I learned from you was how to present it to my peers, to the other moms that I meet in the carpool line or through the school or the parks or whatever, and start talking about the things that like we value as moms. Because I think in the past I would talk about the car, but I wouldn't relate it to me personally and like what my family needed. And so I learned that from you guys. And I think that's been very powerful for our social media is to actually relate it to the user a little more and not be you know, scared to admit I'm a mom, but just be the mom and say, this is what I do for my family.
I could not agree more. Okay. So, and one of the things I also have loved about your content is you also, I feel very similar to my content. You're not scared to like be a person in the industry who's giving car buying tips. Like why so much of our industry is so like vague about what happens at a lease turn in is like it always puzzles me. And some of my favorite content you've done is all about acquisitions. And if you have been in the market for a Toyota, especially something hot like a Sienna or a Grand Highlander or like a RAV4 hybrid, you know that they are very, very hard to find. So Mary, one, I'd love to know any inside gossip on why the heck Toyota still can't figure out their inventory shortages, like why it's still an 18-month wait for a nice Sienna. And also, what tips you have for finding these cars or working with a dealership? Because, I mean, I feel like I've put people on goose hunts to find a Sienna and they have no dealers have them. They don't know when they're going to get them. So I would love to get your take on that.
Okay. I think the best thing that I can do for people is give the same advice that I give one of my friends when they text me and they're looking for a Sienna or a Grand Highlander. I say two things. I say one, allocation runs the first and the second week of the month. So normally like the first week of the month, like around the first, second or third, and then the like second part of the month, which is like the 15th, 16th or 17th. And it kind of varies each month, you know, depending on how many days are in the month or if there's a holiday in there somewhere. But you can pretty much guarantee first week of the month, mid of the month, they're going to have allocation.
And what, can you explain an allocation? I think I said acquisition earlier. An allocation is basically an order slot or being able to.
Yeah, allocation is when Toyota as a manufacturer says we're going to build this many cars and this many of them, for example, are Siennas and they're in this many trim levels. And here you go. These are the ones that you're getting at your dealership. And so we know what's coming. We know that in 30 or 45 or sometimes 60 days, that car that's being built now, that's allocated today, will arrive at our dealerships. So we go to work right away trying to place those cars that are being built with a home. Like, who's been waiting for this car that we can call on our list that's been wanting this car and is waiting for it? So we just work our allocation twice a month. And I always tell my friends, hey, check in with me at the, or like the first week of the month and like the week of the 15th, because that will kind of remind me that you're looking, because so many people are looking for these cars. Mm-hmm. It's helpful to check in with your salesperson, the sales manager, and just say, hey, I'm still here and I'm still waiting and I haven't changed my mind. I still want this car.
Yeah. And do you feel like, and that, do you feel like that's something that people could do at any Toyota dealership in their area? Just like, that's kind of the buzzword to use. Like, hey, when are your allocations coming up?
When's your allocation? And Toyota dealer's allocation is the same no matter where you are in the country. It's always going to be after the end of the month. So the first week of the first month, and then it's going to be like the second week of the month. Yeah. So one region may be Tuesday and one region may be on Wednesday, but that's really not a big deal. If you're reaching out to them, your salesperson or the sales manager, hey, call the GM or the dealer of the store. Like, they're community-based people. They generally answer their phone and say, I've lived in your community, I've serviced there, I've been a customer, or I've been waiting for this car. Please keep me in mind if you get one, because those hard to fill orders get gone normally by lunchtime on the day of allocation. Wow. They rarely make it until 5 o'clock that day. So if you know you're looking for a Sienna Platinum all wheel drive, that's black exterior and you want tan interior, that is a unicorn and you know it, and that's okay. My advice would be reach out the first week and the middle week of every month to everybody you can at the dealership and say, I'm still waiting. Because when we call people, many people have either decided to wait, or I've got a different brand, or I went a different direction, whatever. So we spend a lot of time following up with the customers. We might have a list of 100 people, but maybe only 10 people answer the phone that day. So if you're proactively calling in, just like you would to get your kid into daycare, or if you're looking for a house in a certain neighborhood, and you're going on a letter writing campaign to everybody on the street you want to buy the house for, like, it just shows, it just helps to like show up and be proactive.
So, but why can't Toyota get more inventory?
I think there's a couple things going on, like global supply wise, that make it difficult. I think there's a lot going on logistics and shipping. I think you're still having issues with semiconductors and things like that, that affect how many of a certain one can be produced. You also have a finite number of some of the materials in these cars, and these materials are used on multiple different cars. So they just have to make a game time call of, we have X amount of material, what's the best and highest use of this material? And it maybe not is always for that one unicorn car that you might want. It might be to build 30 of another car. Yeah. So we just never know what kind of the trade-offs are. But I know their goal is to be the number one auto manufacturer in the world. So it only helps them to build more. Toyota doesn't do any better by building less cars. So their goal is to always build as many as they possibly can.
Well, that feels good. So you don't think there's anything like nefarious going on? Like, oh, let's just make everyone want them more.
I think the interesting thing about the car business is that it's all based on market share. It's all about who's number one. Yeah. And that's all they talk about is, you know, who's the number one registrations in the United States this month or next month, or who's gaining market share, who's losing market share. So when they're always trying, if their goal is volume, then they're always incentivized to build more cars.
Well, and I think Ford and Chevy outsold Toyota and Honda last quarter. And it was like one of the first times that it happened in a while.
I didn't see the numbers, but it's possible because of what happened during COVID with supply chain. And each manufacturer that you look at is having different gains based off of where their global logistics and supply chain was during the past couple of years. So one month you might see Honda jump up really high, but that was because they were so low and they finally got their production, they jumped up. So I see that happening across the board with different nameplates, but everybody's goal is always to be number one and to have volume.
Interesting. Isn't that interesting, Elizabeth?
I mean, makes sense.
It does. Okay, so I want to get to industry news, because there's one story that there's just like one little like gossipy story I want the three of us to chat about. Okay. And then we're going to get into some juice about the new EPA regulations. And Mary is very she's like the kind of girly pop who like goes to DC and like talks to lawmakers like with Toyota. Like she's very involved. So she's going to give us like really what's going on like with the EPA regulations, the hybrid versus the EV. Like I've been wanting to bring an expert like this on for a while because I'm just over here speculating on things. And now we have an expert. But before we get to that, okay, automotive news kind of, I feel like, tried to make like really big headlines within themselves. I mean, it's an automotive news story that was posted on Automotive News. And basically their big story was that Automotive News is no longer considering Tesla a luxury brand.
I saw that. Yeah.
It's just, so it's like, which I kind of, it is so interesting when you have like cars of different price points, because I feel like in a way we could say the same thing about almost every manufacturer. I mean, there's Toyotas for almost $90,000.
Jeep.
There's Jeeps.
Right. Like, what's the criteria? I think it's getting a little blurred as we move forward. And there's so many different models available with different manufacturers. Because, again, they're all just going for market share. But that was an interesting move. I think a lot of people associate Tesla with a luxury brand. So that one surprised me as well.
Yeah. And I don't know, but like, I feel like when, like, what was it like?
I don't see Tesla as a luxury brand because I feel like I live in a very middle class neighborhood and like a lot of my neighbors have Teslas. And I'm like, I think it would be a lot different if everyone was driving BMW. Like, no one in my neighborhood has BMW. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
I just wonder, like, and I think if you are a Tesla owner who's had expensive Teslas,
I'd be pissed.
Between these price cuts they keep doing, yeah, I'd be pissed. And like then introducing, and I remember when they came out with the Model 3, like there was some like drama because everyone's like, that's diluting the brand because now there's like a $40,000 Tesla. But to Mary's point, it's like they just want the market share.
Yeah,
everybody wants market share.
They just want to sell cars.
So maybe it's just a move to kind of level that space. And as a segue to your EPA comment you just made, if everybody's moving to the world of EVs and that's the new normal for our future, then maybe it's not such a niche, different brand because everybody's adopting this EV technology. So maybe Automotive News was right in their prediction of, hey, let's level set the playing field because everybody's going to be in this space. And it's not just an elite product anymore. We're trying to make it for the masses, right?
I agree.
I need to look up who they consider luxury because I'd be curious to know. I mean, do they consider Rivian a luxury brand?
Good point. I don't know.
Surely not. Because it's like, I mean, I know Rivians are like, can be like $90,000, but like, it's so outdoorsy. It doesn't feel like.
I mean, you guys, a Tundra can be $80,000. Yeah. But you know, it's not a luxury. It's just, what is the criteria? What is the criteria?
We'd love know.
To know. Inquiring minds want to know.
And like, I mean, even BMW, for example, like you can get a little rinky dink 330 or you can get a loaded up, you know, B7 Alpina. So it is just, I don't know. That's interesting. That is interesting. Very. Okay, so let's move on to Mary. So we have the saying, it's not our saying, but as you know, on the Carbo podcast, we like to do millennial words of the day. And one of our recent millennial words was LE5, and it's this new trend going around on TikTok that stands for explain like I'm five.
Oh, okay.
So I would like you to LE5 us the new EPA regulations and what this means for the EV hybrid market.
You can maybe explain like we're like 10. Like, I don't think we have to be five, but
I would say
dumb it down for us.
Well, I've got an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old at home, so I am well versed in this space because they asked a lot of questions. I would say the best way to sum up what's going on with the EPA regulations is that the EPA has deemed that we should all be moving towards a more carbon neutral automotive experience. And their regulations mandated that a certain number of the cars sold in the U.S. be EV in the next few years. And the concern that we were seeing at the dealership level was that the vast majority of the American public wasn't quite ready for that experience. There's a big subset that is really ready for EVs. They've got charging ability. Mm-hmm. They can adopt the technology. They're ready for it. but there's a large portion of American families that are like, hey, I'm not there yet. So the big change that recently happened with the EPA regulations is that they adopted the language to include plug-in hybrids as part of that global strategy, which is a big deal because a plug-in hybrid can be run from a gas pump or from an electrical outlet. So it's not as limiting as a full EV and kind of allows the American family to get there at their own pace and not be forced into technology that may not work for their lifestyle right now while we improve on charging times and range and affordability.
Mm-hmm.
So while those problems are being worked out through the technology side, the flexibility of the EPA language gives the American consumer a chance to get into the new technology at their own pace.
So is Toyota just like sitting on their throne laughing at all these people who, because Toyota, if you guys don't know, they have been pretty vocal about like, hey, we're not obsessed with like all the EVs. Like we're going to dabble, but like we're going to focus on the hybrids. Are they just
I think it was interesting that Toyota offered up their hybrid patented technology to the other manufacturers at no charge.
I didn't know that. That's giving
that just happened. Yeah, that just happened. I believe it was possibly Akio Toyota who was just quoted as talking about that.
Wow.
And talking about how they offered up their patented hybrid technology to any manufacturer to allow all manufacturers access to the information to help reduce carbon going into the atmosphere and give more solutions for families who need reliable transportation.
That's like what Volvo did with when they patented the seatbelt. They were like, no, this is too good. Like, we're going to share.
Oh.
And so that's
and I think that's amazing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
So
I did not know that. That's so juicy. This is insider.
It was so juicy. And it was like such a solid move because my family's been with Toyota since 1965. We were one of the first Toyota dealers in the United States. We were the first Toyota dealer in the southeastern United States.
Wow.
And because of that longstanding history, you get an idea of who they are as a company. Akio Toyota's grandparents ran the company. They've always had this approach to let's do what's right for everybody. Let's do what's right for the consumer. Let's do what's right for our suppliers, for our associates. And I think it shows when they offer up solutions like they did with giving their hybrid technology to everybody and say, here you go, here's the keys to the kingdom. Let's all get towards this carbon neutrality path together.
And Mary, can you, because I remember you sent me something one time, and I think it's just really good context about how, I think you were at a Toyota event, and Toyota was explaining how plug-in hybrids, especially if we can get more people in plug-in hybrids, it's almost like just as good as getting one person in a full EV vehicle.
When you talk about building the batteries for an EV, and I've researched this a lot in the last 3 years, and I've gone outside our industry, I've gone to mining.com, I've really gone deep on trying to understand this great new transition we're about to go into as an automotive industry. One, because I want to be knowledgeable about it, and two, because I like this kind of stuff. It's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to build an EV battery, it takes so many minerals, and those have to be refined, and those have to be put into a battery. It is so much more than if you were just to build a hybrid battery. And I think that's where we get confused about what does it take to build an EV versus a hybrid or a plug-in hybrid, and why it looks like on paper it makes more sense to build much more plug-in hybrids and hybrids because you can effectively take more carbon out of the atmosphere by building so many hybrids or plug-in hybrids versus an EV, which takes so much. And there was a 60 Minutes special, I think, about this recently too, where they were mining the nodules from the bottom of the seafloor to build these EV batteries. I think until our technology comes along a little better and we can build them with fewer natural resources, that's going to continue to be an opportunity for all of us in our quest for carbon neutrality, is to improve on this battery technology and use fewer rare minerals from around the world so that we can still get the same results because the technology is new.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Totally. And I think like there's not, to me, it just seems like a better idea. I don't think there's a person out there who would turn down a plug-in hybrid. I would love to have a plug-in hybrid, but there's people who are just not ready to go all EV. So I think, I mean, if we could just start getting, oh my gosh, I think this is huge and such good news. And
yeah, let's get people comfortable with the technology, for just sure. Like we did the Prius. The Prius came along in the late 90s, and it was well received in certain subsets and certain driving populations. And then it's 2024 now. And this is the first year the Camry will come out, and it won't be even offered in a gas engine. It will only be hybrid.
Obsessed.
Every vehicle that Toyota makes is offered in a hybrid right now, except for the 4Runner. And on the new 4Runner that's going to come out, that will have a hybrid option. The Sienna is all hybrid.
Yeah.
So it just takes a while, I think, for the consumer to adopt the technology and feel comfortable with it. Some people are early adopters. Some people are on the EV trend right away, and they're great with it. It works with their lifestyle. They've got a garage. They can charge every night. They're good. They don't maybe drive long distances for work, or they don't do heavy towing like boats and trailers and things like that on a farm. So maybe an EV in today's world fits for them. But until it works for everybody in every situation, mm-hmm. I think we just still all have some work to do in the automotive industry to improve the technology and give the consumer time to catch up.
Totally.
So do you think we'll see like GM kind of backtrack a little, because, you know, they were very vocal about all EV by 2035. Do you think we'll see that retracted in a more of an emphasis on plug-in hybrids for all brands? Or do you think some brands are going to stick to their EVs because that's the flag they've planted?
I think that, like we talked about earlier, if the goal is market share and the goal is selling cars and turning inventory, the first thing a manufacturer is going to look at, whichever manufacturer it is, Toyota, Honda, GM, whoever, the first thing they're going to look at is which of my cars are selling and which are not mm-hmm. selling. And if they have a large subset of any kind of car that's not selling, then they have to make a business decision of, does it still make sense to build this car that no one is buying?
Right.
Because ultimately they need to build the car the consumer is asking for. So whatever the consumer raises their hand and say, I want, the manufacturer really tries to make every effort to build.
Yeah.
Which is what's great about Toyota giving that hybrid technology, because now if a company does not have that hybrid technology, they can adopt it and use it. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that happen with EV technology. There are companies that are further ahead in EV research. If they made that technology available to everyone, that would probably help speed up the EV research and get us further along our path quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. you've got to realize a lot of money goes into that R&D, and that's mm-hmm. not always something that every manufacturer can do.
Yeah.
Wow. That is such juicy gossip. Okay, Mary, we'll have to just kind of see where this year takes us. Like, with new models coming out, like, you know, we had the Kia Carnival now being announced as a hybrid, which I think is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still just waiting for something full size to be offered as a hybrid. Like, on, I mean, no, we have the Sequoia, but like edge of my seat. And this is interesting. And I think it's actually good. I think it's actually good news for families who are looking for fuel efficient cars.
That we're collectively pushing ourselves further along.
Yeah, Mary.
Right? You don't want to be in an industry that's still selling a car we made 50 years ago and nobody's talking about anything new. How exciting that we have hydrogen technology, plug-in hybrid, hybrid, EVs, gas, diesel. Like, we have an option for any kind of lifestyle. And I think that's what is really cool about this industry, is it's always pushing the boundaries. What can we do to make safer cars? What can we do to make cars with better technology? What can we do to make cars emit less carbon into the atmosphere? Like, I'm all for that kind of like self-improvement.
Totally. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on to spill that tea. Before we let you go, as a busy mom, like running a dealership, like, you know, spending time in DC fighting carbon emissions, if anyone had an excuse to go through the drive-through, it would be you. But do you have a ditch the drive-through, an easy dinner recipe that you can just throw on the table after a long day?
Yes. Well, in full disclosure, we do a lot of drive-through. We have figured out what we love, and I love your Chick-fil-A recommendations. So I do my salad at Chick-fil-A a lot. But the easiest thing that we do is throw chicken breast in a crock pot, put salsa on it, and yes. then I can make a million things out of that. It's 4 hours on high, and everybody loves it.
Yeah.
So that's our easiest ditch the drive through. And I probably picked up that recipe on your podcast.
So it's literally just chicken breast and salsa in a crock pot.
I've literally. Never shred. And like sometimes I splurge. Sometimes I get the good salsa. You're like, I don't always get the Food Lion brand. Like sometimes I get the really good one, you know, but
yeah.
I try out different ones. I'll try out like a peach salsa. Like I get
Green,
wild in
red,
there.
yeah,
Like,
all the.
yeah, and then it's a
I go
bowl, it's a
crazy.
burrito, it's a nacho, it's a taco.
Yeah.
It's throw it on your eggs in the morning for a little Mexican breakfast. It's
Yeah.
whatever you need it to be. It's good for
Yeah. I
lunches.
mean, and with like March Madness going on, like how fun is that? Just to have a little like, app,
Yeah,
in
it
your
is a good
house.
app.
So that's
Genius.
my ditch the
That
drive-through.
is
And then I'll just
such a good
microwave some
one.
broccoli, or I'll do Karmon
Oh, well,
broccoli.
thanks. Well, thanks.
Sometimes I try and do too much with like my chicken tacos slash fajitas, and it's like, then I have to cut chop them and then like put them on the saute them and then do all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, just put them in the crock pot.
No, I need, and you, the other thing is, it's like, don't forget about high on the crock pot.
Yeah.
I don't always have 8 hours, especially if I'm like working from home or like, I get home at, 2 o'clock or whatever, but like, okay, 4 hours on high, 6 o'clock, supper's on.
We're done. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
Obsessed.
don't sleep on the crock pot liners. Like, save yourself the
Yes.
cleanup.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been sleeping on
I
those.
have not gotten on that train. I do have one more little piece of industry news. And I'm
Oh.
happy we have Mary, because she can, as an automotive expert, she can vouch. The Karmann Auto Show tickets are going on sale very soon. April 1st, they are going on sale. It is July 20th in St. Louis. And additionally going on sale are our VIP night tickets. Now, this is very exciting. We had our VIP night last year at our family's BMW dealership. But this year, since the auto show is going to be on a Saturday, we're able to move the cars in on Friday, which means our VIP night will be at the venue. So you will get a first private look at all of the cars without everyone else there. You'll get to meet Kelly. You'll get to meet me if you want. We will have drinks and just like a good
Yeah,
time.
we'll have
So,
open bar appetizers,
appetizers,
and then
first look at the show, meet and greets.
and we're not selling that many tickets. And so, like, if you want, like, to, browse around the cars, like, with a cocktail, like, this is the chance to do that. It sounds
Limited,
iconic.
limited, limited quantity on those tickets. So everything is going to be going on sale on April 1st. And Mary was at the auto show last year. So, Mary, did you like
Yeah. Oh
it?
my God, I loved it. And you know what? If anybody is thinking, should I go? Absolutely go. Like, this is the best way to see all the cars, climb all over them, get in there with your kids and see how it fits. And it's an opportunity that you don't often get when you go to a dealership, because you guys had what, like 30 cars in there last year?
Yeah.
I
30 car
mean,
like yeah,
every
of all the
brand is
makes and models.
represented,
Yeah.
all makes and models. Kelly does intros on the cars, so you kind of have an idea of what's going on. You had the Chevy Traverse there last
Yeah, it
year,
was
right?
iconic. No, it was iconic.
We put car seats in
Big
all the
deal.
cars, so you can also see the different car, like if you've ever seen Kelly's garage, that looks like a Bye Bye Baby. We take all of those and we install them in every single car. So if there's maybe been a car seat that you've been dying to see in person, there's a chance it'll be at the auto show. So tickets go on sale. Kid,
Yeah.
we have a ton of kids activities too. The VIP night is not really a kids thing, but the next day we have face painters, we have bubble bus, we have like all of the fun stuff. So bring
Disney
your families,
princesses.
bring your families, make it a
Oh.
girls trip, make it a date night weekend. Like, come on out to St. Louis, July 20th, July 19th for the VIP night, April 1st. You can find tickets on our website.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Yeah.
Truly family fun at its best. We brought three kids and had a great time.
Oh, thanks, Mary.
Yeah, I knew Mary would give us a good shout out. A good would vouch for us.
Okay, guys, so that wraps this episode of the Carpool Podcast. Really jam-packed.
Yeah,
Go
Mary, thank
follow
you.
Mary, Toyota
Yeah.
of Greensboro. Or should they follow your personal Mary, or no? Are you just, is that not a thing? Do I only do
I
that?
don't put much on my personal except for kids stuff.
So
So
Toyota
yeah,
Greensboro,
Toyota of
it's all
Greensboro,
Toyota Greensboro.
and go Toyota. Like, Mary, I hope like they're realizing like the good Samaritan work you're doing on the Carpool Podcast, because I haven't always said the nicest things about Toyota. So now that Mary's coming on here, and just like now that they're like doing amazing things like sharing hybrid technology, I'm a stan.
Yeah.
I'm a stan. And I do love the Grand Highlander and the Sienna. They're good.
I just love these cars. They are amazing cars. It's great quality, and it's something to really be proud of. It's, when you're selling somebody a car, you want to feel like that car is
Yes.
going to be safe and a good fit for their family and something they can rely on. And I 100% feel that way about the Toyotas we sell here.
What last question? Because I feel like with Toyota, like they're known for like literally never dying, like making it forever. What's the highest mile Toyota trade-in you guys have ever had?
Million.
No, Mary.
Yes, million.
Mary, no. No way.
Yes, the 999999, and it was a big deal. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, that.
What model
I
was
don't think
it?
he traded it in, though. He was keeping it. It
Oh.
was like a badge of honor. Like, I think you might have said a trade in. So I didn't want to, we didn't trade it in. He kept it, but he wanted us to see it, and we took pictures and we sent it to Toyota. It was really interesting.
That do you remember what model it was?
I feel like it was a Tacoma from like 1980 something, because I
That's
told my
so
dad, he was
cool.
like, I sold that car when you were a baby.
That
That
is
is so cool.
so cool. That's so cool.
My
That's
dad's
sweet.
always doing that stuff to me. I'm sure your dad's doing that to y'all. Like, I sold that car when you were little. That's
Oh
how I paid our, mortgage.
my
You're
gosh.
like, okay, dad, thanks. But now I do that, so I don't know.
Yeah, you'll be doing the same things to your kids.
I totally do.
Obsessed. I'm obsessed.
Okay, well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us. And everyone, thank you so much for listening to the Carpool Podcast. We will talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Carpool Podcast with Kelly and Liz. Make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed riding with us, tell everybody you know. There's room in the car for everyone.